acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 65, Gertrude Gets a Job. Sunday, January 4th, 2014. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Yin Hu Cha Yuan, Silver Lake Tea House. Show notes for this episode can be found on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast has a Facebook page, and it's available on iTunes. Today's episode includes the following segments: ever-expanding skill set, chin wagon, gratitude journal, and so forth. Since the last recording, there is a new star rating and an iTunes review by Blue China Doll. Thank you so much for leaving ratings and reviews on iTunes. I really appreciate receiving the feedback from listeners. It's been a great week here at Yin Hu since I last recorded, with lots of time to work on all kinds of crafting projects. The weather has been cold, often sunny, and then yesterday, Saturday, we had about 2 hours of snowfall. Today it's considerably warmer, but the snow has not completely disappeared. And it's been kind of rainy and very foggy today, so I've been spending a lot of time inside working on my projects as much as I can before it's time to return to work and a very busy season. January and February are the busiest time of year for me as the gifted and talented coordinator. A lot of things just seem to be compressed into those 2 months, partly because sports and the plays and musical and a lot of other things aren't going on during that time. So that's the opportunity to use the auditorium and work with the students on a number of other things. So pretty much all the most important stuff happens in January and February. And then it's complicated by a chance of snow all of the time. Of course, my colleagues and all of the students are incredibly understanding and flexible and easy to work with, but I get a little bit stressed out because sometimes things don't always go as planned. I think knowing that I'll be so busy when I return to work made me incredibly productive over the break. I just wanted to work on everything. And having a new craft to get underway made that even more exciting, which I'll be talking about in a future segment. Ever-expanding skill set. As the Bulk Bins Cook-Along concludes, I'd like to thank all of the listeners who participated over the past year. The enthusiasm for the Bulk Bins Cook-Along is partly what has inspired me to continue ever-expanding skill set with another year-long endeavor. The winner of the December prize, pattern prize, is HEHL, who is Barbara from Germany. And Barbara won for post number 18, which has to do with making a chocolate ganache to use as a filling for a cake. So congratulations, Barbara. Please get in contact with me and let me know what your pattern selection is on Ravelry, and I will make a gift of that pattern to you. I am so pleased to learn that many listeners are interested and excited about hashtag Power Pantry, which is a year-long endeavor to understand, organize, shop for, and cook from our pantries. In previous episode, I talked about one of the things I'm wondering is, what do you consider to be your pantry? Is it just the cupboards or cabinets, or maybe you're lucky enough to have like a walk-in closet to store your foodstuffs, or do you consider your refrigerator, your freezer, part of your pantry? And how do you cook from it, and how do you stock it? So all of those things will be topics that we'll consider over the course of the upcoming year. Based on listener feedback, I've determined to have a kind of a theme for each month, and January's theme is organization. One way to participate in the hashtag Power Pantry endeavor is to take a photo of what you're doing, what you're cooking, what you're organizing, and post it to social media using hashtag Power Pantry. Another way is to participate in the conversation on the Yarns at Yin Hu group threads on Ravelry. Each month, there will be two different threads in which you can participate. One will be ongoing all year long. It will be ideas for links, recipes, just general chatter. It's a great place to make suggestions regarding things you would like to hear about on this particular segment, and I will work to incorporate as many ideas as I can. The second discussion thread will be month by month and will be based on the theme. So January's theme is organization, and there's already a great conversation happening in the thread. On New Year's Day, I took the opportunity to get up early, very early, and start the year with some pantry organization. The kitchen at Yin Hu has a few cupboards that are dedicated to food storage. And when Samuel and I did a bit of renovation on the kitchen, we installed a shelving unit that mimics some of the windows that we have in the house. So the windows are many paned, and this particular shelving unit has lots of little storage shelves organized to look kind of like our windows do. And on them, I store a variety of mostly glass containers with the herbs and spices and things I use most often in my cooking. I have a lot of other things in the cupboards, but those are the things I reach for most often, and it makes sense to have them very accessible on a shelf rather than in some dark, deep cupboard. I had not done a thorough cleaning of those shelves since we installed them about 6 or 7 years ago. So they were a little dirty and dusty, and so were the jars and containers that I had sitting on them. I don't really think about it, but every time you reach for something, if your hands are dirty with what you're cooking with, they can get pretty grimy. So I removed everything and I wiped down all of the shelves and wiped down all of the jars. And then I put everything back on those shelves, and I sort of performed edits and revisions as I did that. I didn't put everything back exactly where it was. After I did that, I emptied out one of the main cupboards that I have. It's a very awkward cupboard because it opens with quite a small door, but it's a corner cupboard, so there's a recess that goes back all the way to the wall. So you can't see the entire cupboard when you open the door. This is challenging, but one of the ways I decided to deal with that is I put some large items that are duplicates of what I have. So for example, I have a bottle of olive oil out that I use, and I have another jar of olive oil just to be on hand because it was on sale and I bought an extra one. Well, I don't need to see that. I just need to remember that it's there. So I push things like that all the way to the back. I have a large box of kosher salt, and I fill a small glass jar with kosher salt to go on my shelf. So that large box of kosher salt, that goes all the way to the back. I don't need to access that all of the time. Another thing I have stored back there are boxes of teas. I have a very nice wooden box that holds several different kinds of tea bags, kind of like a restaurant when they come around and they open the box and you can choose what you want. So I tend to stock that small box with all the different kinds of tea that I have, and then I put the rest of the tea to the back of the cupboard. One thing that is helpful in the upfront space of my cabinets, especially when it comes to spices and things in small jars, I have plastic Ziploc containers. They're, you know, like the, I guess, flimsier version of Tupperware kind of thing. And I like the long, flat containers. I don't use the lid. I just use the bottom part. And I put a lot of small items into those containers and then slide them onto the shelves. That way, when I want to search for something like my little container of cream of tartar, let's say, I know it's in this large flat container. So I just pull out that whole container, then it's on the counter. I can look down into it and I can find what I'm looking for, as opposed to knocking over a whole bunch of little jars and vials of different kinds of extracts and flavorings and things like that. I can just have them all in there and then pull them out kind of like a drawer. I've also done that way up top because one of the most difficult things is search for an item that's actually over your head. So I have large storage containers full of dried fruit in one and then nuts in the other. And I have those up there and I can just slide out the entire container, put it at the counter level, look down into it, find what I want, and then put it back. I find that quite useful, and hopefully that's an idea that will help in your pantry storage. Another thing that Samuel and I have both worked on together over the years in order to give ourselves more cabinet space is to put things that we could store in cabinets out in the kitchen so they're more accessible and they're hanging on the wall. So tools, pots and pans, different kinds of cooking implements, they're actually hanging on the walls. They're very accessible there. They're not taking up cabinet space. There's only one drawer in our kitchen, and it's kind of like a junk drawer, I guess. It's pretty organized, but it just has things that need to go in a drawer. So the silverware isn't in a drawer. Large cooking utensils are not in a drawer. Those things are on bins on top of the counter or hanging on the wall. And I think that helps me cook more quickly because things are so accessible. And it also frees up cupboard space so that I can stock some things and have a bit more of a full pantry. In thinking about five steps toward organization, what I came up with as I tried to write down, I guess, a plan for getting organized in the pantry would be step one, clean and empty. Just empty everything out. If it's on a shelf, take it all off the shelf. Put it all on the counter, put it on your floor. Take everything out. Clean the space. So wipe it down, deodorize, that kind of thing. And then step three is consolidate. So often I find I have more than one container of something, or it's almost gone and I didn't realize it and I bought another box of that. Cleaning things out and emptying out the entire cupboard really helps me figure out what I have on hand, not just what's in the front. Step four is to replace everything. So once you've pared things down, hopefully you've performed some edits and revisions and you've combined like ingredients, then you can replace everything, put it back on the shelf. And five is maintain. I think that having a relatively clean and organized space makes it easier to maintain the space. I find that when things get messy in my kitchen, they get incrementally messier very rapidly. Also, I don't want to clean it because I don't feel like dealing with it. I just want to walk away. If it's clean and organized, it's much easier to keep it clean and organized. And this goes back to something my mom always said. I don't know if it makes sense to everyone, but it makes sense to me. She always said, if it is clean, it stays clean. I would like to encourage a lot of conversation and chatter on the Ravelry threads having to do with Power Pantry. So when I can, I will include a topic for further thought and conversation. This week, I took an idea from a listener comment, and this is from Kelly. Kelly is 100 Projects on Ravelry. She is the co-host of Two Use Fiber Adventures, and she posed this very interesting line of inquiry, which links the fiber arts to culinary endeavors. I think it's brilliant. So I'd like to share it with you, and I'd love to know your response. I wonder if people who cook from their pantries are the same people who knit from stash. And do people who choose a recipe and then shop for it also pick a project and then buy the yarn? So asks Kelly, and I hope that you take the time to respond to that question on the chatter thread on the Yarns at Yinhu Ravelry discussion board. Chin Wagon! It's January, and I took an opportunity this week to look back on my goals for 2014. The way I do goal setting is to write down, and with the podcast, to publicize my intentions for the upcoming year. And then I don't really think about them much throughout the year. I don't like my goals to be a list of things to check off. That sounds too much like a to-do list. I like my goals to be more a compilation of things I would like to do or I would like to address. So just a quick review of the 2014 goals I set for myself. They were knit a sweater, try a felting project, purchase from new-to-me purveyors, record 45 podcast episodes, host a knit-along, and attend a knitting retreat, all of which I managed to complete over the course of this year. And I think that's because I had a strong desire to do them, and that desire did not flag as the year went on. So with that energy and excitement behind me, I thought about goals for 2015. They are knit 2 sweaters, learn to knit brioche, spin 3 and 4 ply yarns, extend my meditative spindling practice, more embroidery, and techno days. So I'll talk a little bit about these things and my reasons for including them. And hopefully I will continue to stay motivated about these goals and manage to address them as the year continues. Last year, I knit a sweater. It was a relatively simple project, and I would like to engage in more garment making and a little bit less with accessories over the course of the next year. I would like to knit a sweater for myself, and I have the cone of yarn from Bartlett Yarns, which I think that's my only sweater quantity, so I think that's the one that I will use. And then I've had a request for a hooded sweater with a front pouch or pocket from my youngest sister, Jessica. I told my family members that I felt confident enough as a knitter that I would take requests for holiday gifts. I did not promise that it would get to them within the next year, but if someone really wants something and they let me know specifically what they want, I will work to make that thing. And Jessica was the first one to make a request, and she wanted a hooded sweater with a front pocket. And after some looking around online and just being familiar with a lot of the sweaters other podcasts are knitting, I think the Miranda sweater is the one that I will try for her. So probably I will start that in the summertime. And when it's colder, I'll knit a sweater for myself first. So knit two sweaters. That's a goal for this year. I would also like to learn to knit brioche. I have wanted to do this for a while, but I've had a lot of other projects going. So this year, I'd really like to clear the space and the mental space to learn a new knitting technique, and brioche looks like a lot of fun. Since I have the new Lazy Kate and a total of 5 bobbins for my Louette, I really want to work on different kinds of yarn structures this year, including more 3 and 4 ply yarns. So I'd like to work on that, and I'd like to work on extending my meditative spindling practice. I feel really good when I'm able to do some meditative spindling each day, and in terms of productivity, it does add up. It creates beautiful yarn over time, and there's quite a bit of quantity when you take into consideration what you can produce each day. So I would like to keep up with that, maybe extend that. I have some other ideas for things having to do with meditative spindling, and it's something some listeners have asked about as well. I so enjoyed the embroidery sampler by Rebecca Ringquist that I ordered and completed and gave to my mom as a gift. Really, really like embroidery, and I would very much like this year to find more time to do that and maybe even just do some very small projects or embroidery that I can incorporate into other sewing that I do. Finally, after the break I took over the Thanksgiving holiday from technology, I would like to incorporate techno days into my week, into my month. I think one day a week would be phenomenal. I'm not sure if other demands will keep me from sticking to that goal, but periodically I would like to have a techno day where I'm not engaging with social media. I'm not spending a lot of time online. I'm just spending time working on projects or enjoying the out of doors and just calming my mind from the nonstop chatter of social media. I think it's fun, but I also think it's restorative to take a break from it. So I'd like to make time to do that this year. Have you set goals or intentions? Have you told someone about your plans for the upcoming year? I think it really helps to make these things public in some way. I feel like articulating goals helps me think about whether or not it's something I really want. Sometimes thinking about something in a vague sort of way is very different from spelling it out to someone who cares for you and saying, this is what I want for myself in the next year. I think that declaring our intentions is an act of empowerment. So I hope that you are able to seize that opportunity in some way and state your intentions for 2015. On the back porch is my first true three-ply yarn. To make this yarn, I used fiber from Sherry of Spinner's End Farm. It's a beautiful Shetland alpaca blend in a gorgeous silvery gray, and I was able to draft this woolen style so that the fibers were not so carefully aligned, and that made the resulting yarn much more bulky and fluffy and warm. I spun 140 yards of a three-ply bulky weight yarn, and for each of the plies, I had about 40 grams of fiber. This has been washed and is drying, and I think I will use it to knit a hat pattern so that I have a very warm and stylish hat for winter. Gratitude journal. This week I was contacted by a listener who wants to make a donation of yarn for prizes for the podcast. I'm incredibly grateful for those kinds of donations, and I'm incredibly grateful to the folks who make them. It really helps the podcast to receive things that I can give as gifts or prizes. And if it's from a business or an independent seller, I will always take the opportunity to mention them on the podcast and also provide links in my show notes and things like that. So the door is certainly open for those kinds of donations as the year progresses. I would like to host another knit along or craft along over the course of the year, and there are plans for a read along as well. And I like to give prizes for those kinds of things. So if that's something you're interested in participating in, just send me a personal message and let me know. And So Forth. And So Forth is the new segment, sewing-related segment on the podcast. I feel like while knitting is something that I can always have going and take along, it seems like sewing is more of an immersion project, I suppose. Last week, I spent a lot of time organizing my studio and office space so that I could use it for sewing projects. And to do that, I moved my desk out away from the bookshelves that I have and created a kind of workspace behind the desk. Right now I have an ironing board back there, but I hope to add a table that I can use as a workspace as well. And all of this did a lot toward making me feel like I could really use this small space for sewing projects, and I did that all week. The sewing machine I have, in case some of you are interested, the sewing machine I have is a Janome. It's an entry-level, very manual machine. It's not computerized. It's model 2206. And the projects that I've been working on so far are from the Weekend Sewing Project Book by Heather Ross. The first project I undertook was the Everything Tote. My mom gave me some beautifully printed fabric with like a Chinese characters on it and bamboo leaves and just a really neat Asian design. So I purchased some heavier weight fabric for the outside of the tote and I used that beautiful fabric as the lining. That project went pretty well. I found it challenging to manipulate some of the heavier fabric. And then I also thought that the outside looked a bit plain. I would have maybe done some embroidery or added buttons before I sewed everything closed, but I wasn't able to really think that far ahead on the project. So maybe next time, but it's a really nice sized tote, and I'm using it as my handbag right now because I'm so proud of it. The next project I worked on from that book is the Weekend Away bag. This is a zippered pouch. I thought it would be great as a project bag, and it has a lining as well as exterior fabric. I found this very fiddly and difficult. I made the project twice, and each time I was kind of frustrated by it. I have two usable bags, but some of the stitching on the inside of them is kind of embarrassing. So I moved on to a garment project. There's a kimono dress in the book. It's very simple. It has an elasticized waist, and it doesn't have a zipper or a button or anything. So the elasticized waist is very important because you need to be able to get into and out of the dress. And it also has a beautiful OB sash belt. The belt was amazingly easy to do. And I started using some fusible interfacing to give the belt a little more structure and purchased some really beautiful fabric to use for the belt. The dress is a bit ill-fitting. I think just the simplicity of the design as well as my limited abilities make it that way. It's interesting. It's totally wearable, and I have worn it. I will wear it. But I feel like the back panel is a little bit too big. And so it seems like the sleeves are falling off of my shoulders. It's hard to keep them up, and it's hard to keep the front of the dress closed as much as I want it to be closed. But I learned a lot in doing different kinds of hems for the sleeves and the bottom of the dress, installing an elastic waistband, and I installed it only around, I guess, 3/4 of the waist. I left the very front of the dress flat. I didn't want it puckered there. And then the dress is gathered around the back and the sides, so I was pretty pleased with that. And I'm not sure what else. The cover photo for this episode is a photograph of the dress. It's being modeled by my dress form, Gertrude. Gertrude was a gift from my sister, Laura, last Christmas, and she is so named because of our great aunt, Gertrude, who is very well endowed. And this dress form, when I received it, had a very large bust. And so far this year, it has just been modeling scarves and cowls and different accessories. It hasn't had a chance to do any real work. So this week, Gertrude got the job of being adjusted to my measurements. So by reaching up inside and through the armholes of this dress form, there are a whole bunch of different adjustments that you can make until the mannequin takes on the dimensions of you or whoever you're making a dress for. So I took the time to adjust Gertrude to have my measurements, and then I used the dress form to fit and pin the dress as I was working on it, which was very helpful, and I think it allowed me to accomplish more than I would by just following the pattern. It's difficult to try things on with pins in them, so it was really useful, and I'm excited about making more garments with my new sewing machine and this dress form. That is ultimately my goal in sewing. I think it's fun to make some project bags and make things for gifts, But what I really want to do is sew clothing for myself. I've grown tired of the fashions available in the stores. They're very expensive, and I don't know, sometimes they're just not very personal or to my personal taste. So I know this will be a very long road, but I hope to sew things that are unique and interesting and very special to me, and they're, you know, wearable, not embarrassing, but actually wearable. So I look forward to sharing my progress on that front with you. And if you have any suggestions or questions about sewing, I am certainly happy to entertain them. I grew up with sewing in my life. As I mentioned in the last episode, my mother is an incredible, incredible seamstress. And so I know a lot about sewing from watching her work and even from assisting her in very little ways. But I haven't executed a lot of these things. So knowing about them and being able to do them are very different things. It's a steep learning curve, but it's fun. And I feel like my experience with knitting and crocheting really helps me think about construction of sewn items. Even though it's a different craft, I feel like there's a lot of transfer of skills between those things. So I'm excited about it. And I hope you enjoy listening to my excitement about it, because it's something that I plan to share on the podcast as I work on my goals this year.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, flowery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thanks for listening. Music for today's episode is Sweet. Music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoy today's episode, I hope you will consider leaving a star rating or a review on iTunes. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire, just like Linda Kurd sings, but out on a wire. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's a will get you high till your face is mine. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature.